Hi there, it's Melanie Cant here from DBN, and this morning I'm joined by James Miller from Umi, but most people know you from as James from Digital Drive. Morning, James, how are you?
I'm out. I'm good, thanks.
James, I know before we start this podcast, I got a little bit confused between Umi and Digital Drive. Can you explain to people what the difference is? Because you are one and the same, really, aren't you?
Yeah, we get this a lot. I think everyone really does get confused between Digital Drive and Umi. Most people either haven't heard of Umi or think Digital Drive. So the company I work for is Umi. And you can check out the website, Umi. There's a backstory. It's about constellation and stars. So you can check out the backstory why we're called Umi. So Umi was the former kind of business enterprise, business link, if you like. So we deliver the funded program called Digital Drive on behalf of Business Durham. And we've been delivering that Digital Drive program for the last 6 or 7 years. And it's ERDF funded. The Digital Drive program, as we know it, is coming to an end this June. So I will only be on the Digital Drive program as an advisor for the next sort of 2 or 3 months.
So you've been gone for 6 years now. So can you tell us what sort of things Digital Drive, well, what sort of services Digital Drive has been providing for businesses in the Northeast?
Yes, I mean, I've only been with Digital Drive for about 2.5 years now. So I like to think I've got my feet reasonably comfortably under the table. So Digital Drive, we like to think that we help businesses with digital technology to help them do more and go further is the strap line that we use. So first of all, Digital Drive only really supports businesses based in County Durham. So that's limited or sole trader businesses who pay their council tax to County Durham Council. So we offer a number of services. The first that most of you are interested in is the grant, which has now come to an end as of last month, March, which was 40% funding from 2.5K. So I'll not talk about that too much more because obviously that's finished. So what we are still offering for the next couple of months is that is free. A lot of these events aren't free, so we're doing free events and webinars. So these are online and in person, all around the County Durham area. Usually includes a free breakfast and lunch, which is an added bonus, and some really great speakers and content. So some of the topics we include are things like social media, Instagram, TikTok, Canva for designing stuff. Social media strategy, how to do website content, how to do video content. So pretty much anything to do with digital, we have run or are running a webinar or an event on that. The second thing that Digital Drive offers is something called digital health checks, which we'll be talking about in a bit more detail, which essentially is a digital audit of the business, looking at aspects of what you are doing and what you're not doing, what you could be doing. Giving you kind of a report with recommendations. And then thirdly, you get advice, guidance, and mentoring from ourselves, digital advisors. So there's three of us in the team, myself, Lee, and Tracy. So you can book in, get some free time. Again, that's a hard thing to find these days. There's no free advice and consultancy, so grab it while you can. So we each have our own specialist areas. I tend to be more specialized in SEO, analytics, web stuff. Lee tends to be quite good in social media, and Tracy's quite good with all things startup, how to do your startup, business planning, financials, and all that sort of basic stuff. So yeah, so you can book some time in with us. There is an informal requirement. You're supposed to get 12 hours of support as a minimum, but most people exceed that, and we're not too hung up if you go over those 12 hours. I'm reasonably flexible on that. So again, by all means, book some time in. As I say, the new requirements are got to be based in County Durham, and you've got to be trading as a business. Okay, so if you're pre-start outside of County Durham, then unfortunately you wouldn't be eligible. But if you are trading and based in County Durham and you haven't used us before, then please do get in touch and register. get access to those free events, digital health check, and advice from your advisors.
Brilliant. So you need to be a business trading in County Durham to be able to access this support, which is brilliant. So tell us a little bit more about this digital health check, because it's quite in depth, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So there's actually three different digital health checks we do, or audits if you want a better way of thinking about it. So the first one, the most common one that we do, is something called a fast track, which essentially is just a very quick sort of snapshot look at the business. Sort of looks at some key areas, which I'll touch on in a minute. So the website, your social media, and a few other aspects of the business. Then we do a deep dive, which is called a full digital health check, which you get like a 40-page report. So it's quite a chunky report, which looks at your systems, your procedures, security, websites, social media, systems, and a lot more. So it's really, really detailed. And then the third one we do is something called a progress review, which tends to be 6 to 12 months after you've had your first digital health check. It's sort of a look back to see actually, where are you now? What have you done? Have you made any improvements on the recommendations we've set you in the first digital health check? And what else can you still do? So those are the kind of three different digital health checks we do. But I'm going to talk through in a minute some of the top five points that we keep seeing over and over again that I want to kind of draw people's attention to.
Yeah, it's really interesting, actually, because we've had a conversation around these top five things, and a lot of them, I think, being from a marketing, I guess, background, is things that we take for granted. But when you talk to other people, not so much. So if you could go through these top five things, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. So some of these are kind of related. And as I said, the digital check looks at a lot more. But I've picked kind of five key themes from the digital check that we see time and time again. I mean, I've probably done over 300 digital checks in the last couple of years, so we've done an awful lot. And I would say 90% of us health check money tend to have these five things that I keep seeing time and time again. And it's really, really frustrating because businesses are letting themselves down. So number one is something called a value proposition. Now, most people haven't heard of this and don't know what it is, but your value proposition is the first thing that you should have on the very top of your homepage. Your value proposition basically says who you are and what you do, but also how you help your customers. So, for example, a photographer takes photographs, pretty obvious, but then ask yourself, so what? What is the benefit to your customer? So there's loads of photographers. Okay, so what is it you do differently as a photographer, and how do you help your target customer? The emphasis needs to be on the value that you offer your customer, hence the value part of it. The proposition is what you do, okay, what you're selling to your customer. So those two things go hand in hand. So there's a couple things you've got to do in order to write a really good, strong value proposition. The first one is understand your target markets and your customers. This can be done through user personas. So user persona is basically doing some market research, understanding who your customers are. So, you know, most people say, I'm going to target everybody, or I'm going to target females aged 30 to 45 with an interest in dog walking. So try and be as specific as you can, okay? Really break down who your target audience is, what their interests are, and then really get in their mindsets, which social media platforms they're on, what their interests are. But then start to think about what pains, what problems, what challenges they have, what services you are offering to solve those pains and problems. And that starts to become more kind of customer focused and orientated. And then from that, you can start to get your benefits. Okay. So you really need to distill down in a very short sentence, probably less than 5 words, what it is you do as a service offering, who to, and what the benefits of that service offering is. And you can Google value proposition template on lots of which websites, because we're not allowed to endorse value proposition template. There are plenty of templates on the web, loads of really tutorials on YouTube talking through how to write this. And the best thing to do is just ask friends, family, customers, how they would describe what you do, what words and sentences they would use to look you up essentially, and what sets you apart from your kind of competitors. So your value proposition, who you are, what you do, and how you help your customers, top of the website, first thing people should see.
Yeah, I think that's easier said than done, isn't it, James? Because I have a conversation with my clients quite a lot about this. And sometimes it takes weeks, if not months, for them to come up with what their value proposition is. And but do you know what it is? I mean, it took me a while when I first started out too. But it really, really helps when you're promoting yourself, and it really helps when you're networking too. So it is a very, very good point. So moving on, next point.
Yeah, it is. It is, it's like you say, it's understanding your customer and doing have analysis as well, and understanding people say, talk about USP, your unique selling points. So these things all are related. Basically just distilling down who you are, what you do, how you're different, and how you help your customers. So that is number one. Really, really important. If people don't get who you are and what you do, they'll get confused and they won't buy from you. Okay, number two, calls to actions, or CTAs for short. So basically, to kind of put this into context, I'm probably going to focus on website CML, but calls to actions could be used across on social media and offline media, flyers, etc. But let's focus on websites. So call to action basically is a button, a link, or a piece of text that directs your visitors to take some action on the website. So when you're doing a website, you need to think about what is the purpose of that website and what do you want your visitors to do when they land that website? Do you want them to buy something, browse your shop, book an appointment, contact you, etc., etc.? Just think about that kind of customer journey and place those call to actions accordingly in the right place and craft that message. So you can use some words like find out more or book now, but again, try and make it benefit focused to what the customer wants. So book a free 30-minute call or browse our shop. Again, there's some really good examples online and templates. So you can Google call to action examples, look at other websites, pinch some ideas. But essentially, your call to action is an action for the customer that directs them from one place to another place to help them understand what you want them to do. So homepage, contact page, shop, about us, think about those call to actions. They don't have to be the same. They could be different each page, but essentially it's how do they get from A to B on the website in as few steps as possible, so they understand what it is you want them to do on the website. So that's point number two.
Yeah, I think there's some good points there. And a lot of people, when I say what's your call to action, don't understand really, you know, what I mean. But it's important to have these little calls to action through your website to sort of navigate people to the area that they're looking for, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So number three, moving on. This is where it starts to get a bit more, I don't want to say advanced, but taking your website to the next level. And most people, when they have a website, they tend to have a homepage and about us, maybe a services page and a contact page. So to make people more trusting, you need to include testimonials and reviews. Okay, this is point number three. So a testimonial is usually something somebody said about your business, ideally a real person, but don't try and make these up. So it could be a Google review, a Facebook review. It could just be something that somebody emailed to you. It could be anonymous, but ideally you want to include their name, job title, company name, and a picture of who they are ideally. So it gives that kind of credibility, authenticity, and trust. This is what we're trying to do. Somebody that said something good about you, the business, your service, it's what's called social proof. It just adds that bit of kind of credibility and trust from a real person that's used you, bought your services, that says, this person's good, I trust them, they were good value for money, they helped me deliver X, Y, and Z benefits. So then when it's somebody else, you know, a potential buyer looks at your website, doesn't know you, doesn't know much about you, doesn't trust you, they can read third party reviews and just gives them a bit more kind of confidence in who you are and what you do. So really, really important.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I tend to do mine via Facebook, ask people to leave a testimonial on Facebook, and I link it back to my website. So that anyone who lands on my website and then obviously lands on my Facebook page can see that these are real customers and not just words that I've put into somebody's mouth. So yes, I agree 100% with that. Brilliant.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, there are plugins you can get. So if your WordPress website is built on WordPress, there's plugins you can pull in, Google reviews, Facebook reviews, LinkedIn reviews, but it could just be a copy and paste. You know, there's all sorts of clever ways of displaying them, but essentially you just have those bullet points on your website. They don't need to be fancy. You know, people tend to worry about those speech bubbles and all sorts, but just as long as you've got something on there that demonstrates some sort of credibility. At Umi, we've just started using Trustpilot on the emails for this, trying to encourage people to leave reviews. We've got 4.5 out of 5. So we're trying to get much more reviews and demonstrate that kind of credibility. Because we all tend to do a good service. And I think at Umi, we really do try and exceed customers' expectations. But we're now trying to really distill that down and bottle that and say, you know, blow our own trumpet. Essentially, that's what it's about.
Oh, yes, yeah, certainly. I mean, one of the first things I do if I'm going on holidays, I'll have a look on TripAdvisor because, you know, the things that you read, I guess, like the travel company you've put on there, I like to have a backup. I like to read real customer reviews. And I'm one of these people who will go to the, say, top five best reviews and then the top five worst reviews and then make an informed decision for myself. You know, but it's the same sort of thing. People trust other people because, you know, these days customer service is king. And if you get a bad review, it can be the make or break of some businesses. So it's very important that people have got this, you know, this outlet that they can go to read what other people's thoughts are around your products or your services. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we've moved on now with technology and the world, unfortunately, I suppose, is all about peer reviews. You know, you do get positive and you do get negative reviews. I think, like you say, eating out, you know, buying something, shopping online on certain marketplace websites, everyone tends to look for those reviews. And then, you know, you base your purchases based on the number of reviews and, you know, how many stars out of 5. So some of this can be really good. But obviously, if you're delivering a service, and if you haven't got those reviews and recommendations, that might go against you. It certainly might impair, you know, people's kind of buying intentions. So if you can, try and ask your customers for reviews and get those on your website. Or if you're on Google, do your Google profile, get them on there, or your Facebook or LinkedIn. Really, really important. Easy to do as well.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the amount of people who will come to me and say, oh, I've read your reviews and I'd like to chat to you about a website or social media, which is obviously brilliant for me. But yeah, agree 100%.
Good stuff. So that was point number three. Moving on to point number four. So again, thinking about your website, take it to the next level. So moving away from having a basic web presence of homepage, about page, services or shop, and the contact page, you then want to think about what's called social and promotional content. Okay. So what can you put on your website that is non-salesy? Okay. A lot of websites are all focused on selling, selling, selling. So this is about what content, what stuff can you put on your website The A demonstrates your credibility and expertise as a credible expert person in your field. So again, if you're a photographer, think about, can you put some hints and tips on there, how to use a camera, which are the best cameras for which purpose and so on. If you're a hairdresser, hints, tips, products, et cetera. So A, it demonstrates credibility and trust. B, you're giving your customers some added value for nothing, which is great. People want stuff for nothing. C, it really does boost your SEO. So SEO is how websites find you and, you rank highly in search engines. So there's a lot of benefits of having content website, and there's a whole trend now in what's called content marketing. So you have paid advertising, you have SEO, and recently, the last couple of years, successful marketing, successful SEO is all about content. So getting stuff on your website and having the right words that represent who you are and what you do. Again, getting back to, your value proposition, understanding your audience. So making sure you use the right descriptive words and terms that sum you up. You can put those on your website, on those pages, in this kind of social and promotional content. So one very simple thing to include could be FAQs. Okay, customers will guaranteed have questions and they'll probably contact you, or they might not contact you. They'll probably put off because they don't understand who you are and what you do. They'll have questions and they'll not have the time, can't be bothered. So get some FAQs on there. Have a dedicated FAQs page. So you can probably think of 5 or 10 FAQs dead easily that will commonly come up. People ask again and again who you are, what you do, what your pricing structure is, what areas do you cover, et cetera, et cetera. So FAQs can be one. You could have hints, tips, guides, how-tos. Again, Google, look at competitors. Try and be different. People try and do clever things like give us your email, send it to a newsletter, and you'll get, I don't know, 5 templates, which can be a strategy, but sometimes people will be put off by giving you an email or giving you the contact details, and that doesn't really help your SEO. So this is about, those three kind of strands: getting your website listed with those keywords and content, giving that added value to your customers, and then building that credibility and trust. Because if you've got stuff on there that really instills confidence in your customers, explains who you are and what you do, people will read that, look at that. Video is a great one to do these days. So I've been with a couple of clients trying to get them to do little kind of blogs, video blogs, info kind of videos about who they are and what they do. And again, don't necessarily focus on you, think about the customer. So again, how you help them, what their problems are, what can you give them that doesn't necessarily take away the services or products you're selling, but what can you give them that helps them to a point, but also encourages them to buy from you. So there is a bit of a balance in that here. And you can be quite clever in your content. Here's a little snippet of what we do. And by the way, I offer this service. Click here to find out more. Okay.
Yeah, and I think
That's
you
point
know, yeah, I think
number four.
video blogs is a really good way of connecting with potential customers, so they can actually see you and hear you, and they get a sense of who you are. And also, normal blogs on websites I found drives a lot of organic traffic to your website and helps with SEO, especially if it's a lot of helpful evergreen content. Again, not salesy, but being helpful is the what I tell my clients. If they're adding a blog to a website, it's always, really, really good for SEO.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not about being salesy. It's a cliche, but people do buy from people. And if people like you, trust you, believe you have the expertise and credibility, they might not buy from you the first time. They'll connect with you, they'll send it to your newsletter, they'll follow you on social media, they'll send an inquiry, they'll start to kind of reach out to you and connect that connection with you, engage with you. And that's when you can start to build that rapport, that relationship, and that trust them. And as you see, Emma, it's all about building that value and that relationship.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, brilliant. And the last
So that
one.
brings on the last point. So point number five is probably the boring stuff, but it is really, really important. I've kind of stuffed three things under this category. So point number five is about the kind of functional and technical aspects of the website. So we do a few tests on the website when we do the digital checks. So the first one is the website secure. Okay. So if you look at your website, in the address bar, what we call the URL, that's the bit at the top that starts with www. Have you got that little padlock in the top left-hand corner? That little padlock that's known as an SSL. Okay, I'm not telling you what that means because it doesn't really matter. That SSL just means, is your website secure? Personal, private information, and handling transactions. Okay, so if it's not secure, why is that important? Well, what that means is some browsers can actually block your website from being accessed and viewed. Okay. So you might have seen this when you try and visit a website and you get that horrible gray page that says, warning, this website's not secure. Don't click on it. We wouldn't recommend you click on this link. And that usually means you haven't got this SSL security in place. Okay. It's really, really important. If you're taking any personal information, transactions, anything to do with privacy on your website, pretty easy to do. It's usually free nowadays. So if you have a web host, or if you're hosted with any of the big names, contact your web host and just say, why haven't I got an SSL? How do I get one? Most good web hosts will give you one for free as part of the hosting package. And if they do try and charge you, then my advice would be shop around and find a better web host for your website that includes a free SSL. That's kind of sub point number one. The second one you would think doesn't really come up much these days, but you'll be surprised. So it's mobile friendly. So really, really important now to have a website that's mobile friendly. So what does that mean? So obviously when you're looking at a website, the dimensions of the website will differ depending on which device you were looking at the website on. So if you're looking at the website, it'll be quite wide on a desktop or a laptop. Tablet, it'll be medium, and a smart device, phone, etc., it'll be quite narrow. Okay. So having an old school website that doesn't respond and adapt to the viewing screen means it's very inaccessible. Modern technology doesn't like it, and Google doesn't really index it. It actually scores against websites that aren't mobile friendly. So if your website is built on a modern platform like Wix or WordPress, it should be out of the box mobile friendly. It's also known as responsive. Okay. The easy way to test your website is if you on your phone, if you turn your phone from probably the vertical. So portrait to landscape. If you turn your phone and then the website changes and adapts and stretches and narrows, or on the desktop, if you get your browser and then reduce the width of your browser. So just click on the mouse and then just pull the browser window from right to left just to narrow the screen size inwards. And you should find the width of your website contracts and things like the navigation menu, the content should adapt and change to the width of the website. And that's how you can quickly test. But there are also websites that will run tests that we use to check things like font size and spacing as well to make it more advanced. That's kind of sub point number two, really, really important. We don't see a lot of websites, but we still do come up surprisingly. You know, I would say maybe 5-10% of websites still aren't mobile friendly. So really, really important. And then lastly, this one is quite common, the loading speed of your website. Okay. So when you click on the website and you see that horrible line or that buffering and you're sitting there and you're waiting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 8, 10 seconds, the website still hasn't loaded. And you know, you're hanging on and the website takes ages to load. So what happens? Your customers get bored, frustrated, and they disappear. So we have statistics that say every 1 second you lose something like 10, 20 type of customers. So your website needs to load in under 3 seconds. Okay, two ideally. And there's lots of reasons why. Some are quite technical and advanced. It could be as simple as you've got a video on your website. So the videos take ages to download. So don't put videos on your website. Put your videos on YouTube and then grab the link and embed them. Images, again, look at the image sizes, the resolution. You can compress them, make the image size smaller. If you're on WordPress, there are plugins you can use to compress and cache. You talked to me about that on another podcast, website caching. So you're not reloading the content every single time. And just one other quick point, mobile friendly. Over 80% of people now visit websites on mobile. Okay. So think about what stuff you got on there and how it looks on the web. You know, if you've got really big content, text, videos, images, can you change the design to make your website much more friendly? And also accessible these days. You do have visitors who have accessibility needs. So try and think about that. We obviously have some really good companies and suppliers that we work with that specialize in web design and what's called user interface design, so how the website looks. My advice would be to use a template like WordPress or Wix, because these are tried and tested. And there are hundreds or if not thousands of really good templates for free. Again, look at the reviews, test them, trial them, and you know, get some ideas from the web as well. And they're all very customizable. So a very quick recap on those 5 points. Value proposition. Okay, so this goes on the top of your website homepage. So who you are, what you do, how you help your customers, think about the benefits and those USPs. Your call to action. So what is it you want your visitors to do on the website, or your social media, all those flyers. So buy now, contact us, and visit our shop. Point number three, testimonials, reviews. So try and get that social proof, builds credibility and trust and authenticity. Social and promotional content, number four. So what can you give your customers that demonstrates value, credibility, boost your SEO. Number five, those technical aspects. Is your website secure, mobile friendly, and does it load in under 3 seconds? So those, Melanie, those are my five top tips from us in Digital Drive to get your website all singing, all dancing, take it to the next level. But obviously there's a lot more we do in digital tech, but these are the top five things that we see over and over again.
Yeah, and you know, being in that industry myself, I see it all the time. And you know, the mobile friendly aspect of it, I place high importance on that, because you're right, a lot of people don't even open the laptops these days. They do everything from the mobile phone. So if your website isn't mobile friendly, you could be losing valuable customers. And also the SSL, I come across a lot of websites that are obviously the mostly older websites that still haven't got their SSL certificate. But you're right, most good hosting companies now actually offer it for free. If they don't, and there's still some companies out there who don't, and they charge, I've seen people charge around about £120 a year just for it. But you know, why people wouldn't get it for free? You might pay a tiny bit more for your hosting, but it's better sort of value in the long run to get it all included. But do you know what? That's brilliant, James. And I've even made a few notes myself from that. So if anyone, obviously it's great value. If anyone wants to get in touch, what's the best way to get in touch with James from Digital Drive?
Yeah, so the best way to get in touch with me is just through the Digital Drive website, which is digitaldrivedurham.co.uk. There's a contact us or a register now button. You'll also be able to browse the events on there. You can't attend events unless you're registered. Registering just takes 2 minutes. So you just click on the register, put your details in. You'll get an acknowledgement from us. You get the option to book an appointment with us. Obviously, if I've met you before, had a chat with your DBN, or some other events are registered, please do register, because obviously we can't really help you otherwise if you're not. As I said, the start digital drive is around till June. We're not unfortunately offering the funding, so just emphasize that has finished now. There is potentially some new funding coming out later this year. We don't know the precise details of what that is, how it's going to work. So watch this space. We're expecting some details in the summertime around that. But in the meantime, you will obviously have access to the advice and guidance from most of the digital advisors. So you get at least 12 hours of support. You know, anything you need help with, websites, any of the stuff I've talked about, social media, video. If we don't know the answer, we have suppliers we can pick in touch with. I think our job as advisors is we tend to know a little about a lot. And said before, you know, we've each got our own specialisms. So you know, if I don't know stuff about Instagram or TikTok, I'll pass it on to Lee. Tracy's more specialized in startup and advice advice, so they'll pass stuff to me about websites. And again, so you get the digital checks. So you can pick and choose which one you want to read and do. So if you can't sleep at night, I'd recommend, you know, the full 40-page digital check. If you want a quick snapshot, the fast track one. If you've had one previously over 6 months ago and want a quick sort of review, how you're getting on, then we do the progress review, which essentially looking back, what you've done, how you're getting on, any recommendations you can work on, and then obviously those events. Okay, that's still the offer the digital drive has until June.
Now, I can actually, you know, from a customer point of view, say that I've done the health check, and so have some of my clients as well, and they found it, and I found it really valuable, because even you know, a professional like myself, there's things that, you know, when you're working in your business, you tend to, you know, forget sometimes to be working on your business, and it was a good exercise for me actually to revisit different areas, because things can change, your business can change, so therefore your value proposition can change. You know, it was really good for me just to look back, and think, oh, actually this has changed now. And you know, just go through and tick all those boxes again. But James, I have to mention at the very end, obviously,
Absolutely.
before you go, you've been attending the DBN network and events for a while now. Can you tell everyone out there sort of what is it about DBN that you enjoy? And don't say
Yeah, so
goodies.
obviously as part of my job, I go to quite a few. Yeah, so as part of my job, I obviously have to attend lots of networks events to promote digital drive and find customers and obviously promote who we are and what we do. So I'm, you know, I've go to a few in the Durham and Derwentside area, and do business is probably one of my favorites. Cut that out later if you want, Mel. But yeah, I like the people that attend DBN. They're a really good bunch. They're friendly, they're welcoming. You know, there's good venues. They do have a mix of online and in-person events. So it's the people, the events. Yeah, I like a good bacon sandwich and coffee in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, everyone says that, but obviously we are a good bunch. And getting back to what you were saying earlier about not being salesy, do you know what? That is so true. People don't like to be sold to, do they? And it's nice to have a group of people who are genuinely interested in what each other do, so that we're in a position to either buy if we can, or more importantly, I think, refer, because you're never in the market to buy from everyone that you meet at
Yeah,
a network,
absolutely.
not just DBN. But I think that the fact that we take time to get to know each other, we become really good referral sources for each other, and I think that's the key thing about DBN.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. As I said, the people are really informal, welcoming. Think, you know, talking to people, you get to know people, and there are new people coming from different meetings I've been to. compared to, I'll not mention names, but some of the networking groups I've been to, they tend to be quite rigid, quite formal, very pitch orientated. And I think one of the reasons I particularly like DBM is the range of people there. They tend to be SME, small, medium-sized businesses based locally in the Northwest Durham area. So if you do live in that area, do get along. I think the costs are quite low, Melanie, as well,
Yeah, we tried to.
to register. It's
Yeah,
pretty good value for money.
they are really good value for money, and we try and subsidize that by offering courses a bit like yourselves, that we are fortunate enough to get funded by at the moment RTC North. But yeah, but it's lovely to have you and sometimes Lee along, and it's great for us that you come along and you can stand up and tell everyone what's going on with Umi and Digital Drive and what's available for them. So I think having you guys as members is added value for us too. So thanks very much for that. But it was lovely chatting to you. I look forward to see you at our next. I know you couldn't make the last meeting, it clashed with something else, but we look forward to seeing you. I think it's May's at Lanchester Garden Centre. So make sure you've got that one. You have got that one yourself, haven't you, James?
Yeah, I've booked up for that one. I'm looking forward to that one. I think another reason I like to attend is it's nice to get out of the house. We're based in Seaham, but we're lucky enough to work remotely most of the time. So I do live in the Northwest Durham area. So it is nice to get out and about. It does get a bit boring being cooped up, and it's just nice to get out and meet new people. So yeah.
Brilliant. Well, James, it's lovely to chat with you. We've got some really good sort of hints and tips there for DBN members and anyone else who listens. And I look forward to catching up with you again in May. Take care.
Brilliant. Thanks, Mel. Thanks, bye now.